Maybe it's worth mentioning about the King George V playing field. So
yes.
If we're talking about sporting places, I gather, Peter, you've got very, very, well, not strong memories, but memories going back quite a long way.
Yes, you could say when I was in 1936, when the playing fields was opened, I happened to be on my father's shoulder watching the event, and I can remember it. In fact, I can remember before it was opened, so it must have been 1935 or before, that I played on the playing fields before it actually opened. And the entrance into the playing fields then is exactly where the entrance to the car park is now in on Clifton Terrace.
Yeah, there's this really kind of iconic, famous photo, which I think is on the Wivenhoe Encyclopedia website. It's in various local history books, of it being opened. So we can see this scene of these gentlemen sort of all dressed in splendid costumes, sort of Sunday best. And that's something which you saw, you can really remember.
I can remember it vividly as well. And before it opened, before it was officially opened, there used to be quite a number of donkeys on the playing fields. And Wivenhoe Manor, at the top, which Manor Road was named after, before Wivenhoe was allowed, the roads were made up, the Spine Kop was a wilderness of unmade roads. That came about, I believe, in the 1960s, I think, when the act where the roads were made up. But in the earlier days, 24 row in Manor Road was isolated, and the coalmen in those days, the milkmen, or any of that vehicle couldn't penetrate in winter because they got bogged down. So it was an isolated area for any contact. Then gradually it was built over, but it took many years. And I played football just off Manor Road when we had a football ground there as well. And the fairs, the circuses and the fairs used to come onto an area called the Spine Kop. It's all built right through now, right at the back of the cemetery, in those early days. The wall, which almost divided Wivenhoe, the size of the wall opposite the Park Hotel penetrated all the way down High Street, past the Greyhound, and came round the Clifton Road corner and stopped where the entrance is now, the very high wall indeed it was. It was almost, you couldn't see over, it was yards high. And the wall continued even after that, but on a lesser height. But it gradually, after the opening of the playing fields, Thanes Wood, by the way, which is called Wivenhoe Woods now and built through, it was privately owned by the Thane family. And if you trespassed, as we all did, you were expected to be shown off with a shotgun over your head, and that happened many moons ago. Now it's called Wivenhoe Wood, and it's free for anyone to walk through, and the bluebells there are marvellous in the spring.
So with somewhere like the George V playing field, I know from speaking earlier, you were there a few weeks ago for Mayfair.
Yes, it's so, yes.
So I imagine, you know, a few weeks ago looking around, it's a huge, massive occasion in the town. What kind of thoughts do you have then when you were there a few weeks ago and looking around and then just thinking back, I was here when this opened, and thinking of all those changes? How did that really feel?
Well, the changes, as a local born and bred, I no longer know people, where yesteryear we knew everyone. If that event had happened in the 1930s, 40s or 50s, the whole Mayfair, if it existed, which it didn't, each group would have known each other. I walked round there, and it was a splendid day weather-wise, and I felt a complete and utter stranger to my own location. I didn't know a person, with one exception. The Wivenhoe new town mayor, Mr. Needham, is a local born person. He was the only one I could recognise and speak to, knowing he would know a bit of my background as I would know his background. That's the only person, and I was relating to a person I met there about the old days of Wivenhoe and the changes which had occurred. But it's a nice event, which was marred later by a problem which occurred, drunkenness. But it's in my lifetime there's been so many changes. The lower part of Wivenhoe, when you consider there was three butchers below the bridge, three bakers below the bridge, and our fish business was also, the family's fish business was also there, and also a bakery business which was also family owned in East Street. So we have seen the demise of the all the shops, which were numerous in those early days, and bit by bit, because of the coming of possibly of the supermarket, more than likely, and the coming of the motor car, because during my national service, my total money ran out. This was the week's money, ran out at Colchester North Station. It ran out. That was the total week payment I received, and my parents had to subsidise always the return journey. And I had to walk from Colchester North Station home to Wivenhoe. And for a sort of game I used to have within myself to occupy mentally, walking the distance, to count the cars from Colchester North Station to Wivenhoe. And I can tell you now how many, it was a good time. It took quite a while to walk from North Station, Colchester, to Wivenhoe.
I'd say probably at least an hour.
Longer.
Yeah.
Probably. No more than a dozen passed me during that period in the 1950s.
So even as late as the 1950s?
In the 1950s.
Where you think of this kind of post-war booming.
The cars hadn't in volume arrived till after the middle of the 1950s upwards.
And which route would you walk? Not maybe from Colchester North, but say you'd get as far as Greenstead, and then what would be the access into Wivenhoe? Because it would also be before the university.
Yes, past where the Wivenhoe University is now, and the same route. The road system hasn't changed, only for the university intake.
Mm. Maybe it's worth mentioning a bit about the university, because that's obviously an experience that you've lived through. So when the plans were first discussed for having a university in Wivenhoe or on Wivenhoe Park, was there much support from the local community for it?
Yes, there was. To some degree, I agreed the fact it will be a complete block with the Colchester and Wivenhoe then would remain a divided two communities. And I could see it would be an advantage to have a university there. And I played badminton as well in the William Lovers Hall. I played with the senior structural engineer when they were putting in the infrastructure in for the university. I was actually playing with him. Name escapes me at the moment. But I mentioned to him some stage, rather, I know I talked about he would have problems with his machinery, because the hard standings during one period during the war, the tank regiment were there with all their hard standings, concrete, and they were disappeared with all the bracken and rubbish placed on there. So the machines were hard pressed to miss these concrete hard standings. But the Czechoslovakians were there as well. Czechoslovakian, the remnants of the Czechoslovakians units were there in billets. The SAS were there, stationed there at one period. The Americans were there latterly, and there was a talk amongst us kids then that they dumped thousands of bottles of champagne and millions of rounds of ammunition in the lakes which divide Wivenhoe from Colchester.
Was that true? Did you find
that? That was correct. When they dredged the ponds and the markings between the two, there was thousands of rounds, probably millions of rounds, and bottles of champagne appear in the mud and sludge which they dredged. It was a steam effort, by the way. They had a bucket between, running between, and that was the best method of draining the those dividing ponds between Colchester and Wivenhoe.
And then in the early 60s, we had the whole landscape changed of Wivenhoe, with those, again, quite iconic six towers appearing and shooting up. Is there any kind of argument or any sort of sense you think that the university as a business, as an industry, has kind of replaced the old fishing in Wivenhoe? So whereas before, perhaps your generation were working down by the river, now an awful lot of the town is employed at the university.
They're employed, yes. I do speak with a number of the university students and the professors, and the area where used to be occupied by the fisher folk of Wivenhoe now are either students or commuters. And the area, especially the Station Road area, which was a area which was built mainly as a shipbuilding section of Wivenhoe. During the war, they built wooden minesweepers there, and before the coming of the barrier, which is now in place, the very high tides, and during the war there was many flooded tides which floated off the wooden timbers. It was a bit of a godsend for the locals, because the war ration coal meant that it sort of enhanced the amount of fuel they'd got to use. It used to be the gas works too. We call it St John's Road. It's Gas Road to us locals. It's St John's Road, that's the lower part. The other end built motor torpedo boats. That's the Cook Shipyard, so-called Cook Shipyard. I know it as Husk's Shipyard. They built, Waspers built motor torpedo boats during the war years. Wonderful sight to see them on their trials. Also, the other shipyard built dummy submarines, wooden ones, because to probably divert the bombers thinking they were real submarines, and the whole stream of wooden submarines were built. But we had very few bombs hit Wivenhoe. There was one stick of bombs only, which just missed the railway station onto the playing fields, and the other way onto the marshes. That was the only time where we were affected. But the coming of the evacuees in Wivenhoe, that was quite an event. In 1939, to see this whole group of youngsters my age walking along East Street and were being billeted willy-nilly into different houses who would accept these evacuees from London. And Mr. and Mrs. Chick, who lived in, had a business, hardware business in East Street, took in three girls, which, that was quite an event, because they had no children of their own. One still remains, Mrs. Mills, as she is. Pat Flunder, as she was in 1939-40. She's now Mrs. Mills. She still lives in Wivenhoe in the Avenue. That's the only evacuee left in Wivenhoe from the 1939 era. Apart from that, they've all disappeared.